All right, so we'll say good evening. Let's begin. So actually, let's continue. So we're continuing in Meretz Hashem this week in Reish Pei Beis. So this is the ma'amar. The truth is, it's actually, I think I mentioned this last time. It's the last ma'amar, the last piece in the first chelik of the Likutei Moharan. So I want to just continue with this a little bit. And remember, again, we ended off last week with the beautiful idea by the Rebbe of Azamra Lelokai Ba'odi, that I will sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when I recognize Ba'odi, the Ode Sheli, the little bit of good that I possess within. Remember, again, the Rebbe's whole, his entire Vart is this idea. Remember, it was a two-pronged idea. Number one, that a person always has to see the good in the other. That when I look at another person, even if at the end of the day I see a lot of ra, I see a lot of negativity, there's no such thing as a person who's only bad or a person who's only ra. That even the person who's mamish, you know, might not be that much to write home about, every single person has a little bit of good in them. And therefore, when I look at the other, by definition, it's so easy to be drawn to the negativity in the other. Instead, I have to be able to see the tov, see the positive. And the Rebbe's next step from that was, remember, that what's true for the other is true for myself as well. That sometimes we look at ourselves and all we see are our faults, our shortcomings, the negativities. We have to be able to see the good in ourselves. Remember, again, the Rebbe says that when you begin to see the good in yourself, that's how you're able to create the notes of a nigun. Because remember, again, the difference between a nigun, right? Remember, again, in life is a fundamental choice. Every day, says the Rebbe, what's the choice? The choice is song or sigh. Song or sigh. It's the same energy expended. The sigh is just the exhaling of air in a non-melodic form. And the song is a choice to take that same air, to take that same breath, that same energy, but to put it to music, to put it to musical notes. And the Rebbe says, what's the chiluk between a song and a sigh? It's finding the good in myself. If I see something positive in myself, despite the fact that I have many shortcomings, that air, that breath, that exhale could then become a song instead of simply a sign. That's the Azamra Lelokai Ba'odi. So we're picking up on the... on the first page, the left-hand column, the paragraph that begins, V'hizhir Rabbeinu. So V'hizhir Rabbeinu Zal Ma'od. So look at the first page in this left hand column. Hisi Rabbeinu Zal Ma'od Leilichim HaTorah Zos. So we'll say, remember again, we've seen before, I've mentioned this many times, I think we usually every shiur or so, Rabbi Nachman didn't write Likutei Moharan. Remember, Likutei Moharan was written by his disciple, by his Talmud, Rabbi Nosson. So that's why you'll find every so often by a ma'amar, you'll see like Rabbi Nosson's editorial notes. So he writes over here, V'hissi Rabbi Nuzal Ma'od, Leilichim HaTorah Zos. And Rabbi Nosson says that Rabbi Nachman held that this was a very important Torah. This was a very important idea. Ki hu yisod gadol, this is a very important idea to anyone who wants to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ulabal yovat olamo legamrei chas v'shalom. And we'll say, in order to be able, a person runs the risk, and this is an incredible yisod as well, a person runs the risk of sometimes of losing their world. Of losing their world. How does a person lose their world? Look what he writes. Kirov b'nei adam sherechoke ma'ashem yisbarach. So listen to these words. Because most people who find themselves distant and far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ikar richukam hu machmas mara shechora v'atzlus. We'll say most people that are far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it has nothing to do with averus. It has everything to do with sadness. Everything to do with sadness. You know, I give a shiur on Shabbos afternoons in Melachim Beis. So we're up to the section, we're up to Paragimel, Melachim Beis. It's a shiur Navi, we're just going through the Naviim. So tomorrow, so Shabbos, we're about to discuss the section. Eliyahu Navi died. Elisha now is the Navi. And Elisha wants to give his first Nevuah. Melech Yisrael and Melech Yehuda are going to war against Melech Moab. And they run out of water. And so they come to Elisha and they say to Elisha, you know, are we going to win the battle, lose the battle? So Elisha's so angry at them. He's so angry at them. He's specifically angry at Melech Yisrael. Because he says to Melech Yisrael, you know, you're an idolater. You're an idolater. So let me get this straight. You know, when you're in trouble, you come to God. But when everything is good, so you don't come to God. And then Eliyahu is so angry and he says something where he says, Kichuli minagein. Call for me a musician. Let him play a little bit of music for me, and I'll tell you what the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. What's the pshat? Why does he need a musician? So the Gemara says, because ein hashchina shora mitoch atzvos, ela mitoch simcha. Because at the end of the day, a person can't have a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu if I'm sad. If I'm sad, a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes from what? Comes from simcha. Now, both saying that, what does it mean I can't have a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when I'm sad? Sometimes there are sad times in life. What he's saying over here is, I can't have a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu really if I'm sad about myself. If I'm in a bad place in life about myself and I don't feel good or happy with who or what I am, I can't have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what the Rebbe is saying. That most people, this is amazing, you know, we often think that most people who struggle with their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because of some avera they've committed. No, it's not about averas. We all commit averas, right? Some of us are a little bit better at it than others, but we all commit averas, and we commit averas pretty often because that's the nature of people. We're frail and we're weak. That's not what distances us from God. God expects us to sin because God programmed us with all of our frailties. What distances us is sadness. When a person loses faith in themselves, when a person no longer believes in themselves, when a person no longer feels good about themselves, that's the mara shachar, that's the depression that ultimately distances me from God.
Can that also be the shot where when they told Yaakov, before they were telling that Yosef is alive, Zerach sang like a song, or like played music?
Yaakov Avinu was dead for 22 years. He was dead. There was no Shechina, there was no Nevuah. Why? Because he fell into deep atzvos. He fell into a deep, deep sadness. And deep down, why was he so sad? Meaning, you ever think about this for just a moment. He lost a son. You know, Rahman al-Islam, people lose children all the time. All the time. So it's a tragedy. But we know that as a people, we deal with tragedy is we mourn, and we might even mourn for the rest of our lives, but we pull ourselves together and we move on. How could it be that Yaakov Avinu was broken for all of those years? You ever wonder about this? What's the pshat? Right? Again, you saw in the news this past week that the parents of Ezra Schwartz, you know, that teenage boy who was killed in the Gush, they were in Eretz Yisrael this past week, and they met with the president, and like, mamash, like, they're strong. Yaakov Avinu wasn't as strong as the Schwartzes. For 22 years, he sat in the house, he sat shiv for 22 years, he wasn't as strong as them. Elmai, what's the pshat? Now you can see, what's the pshat? Because Yaakov Avinu felt like the death of his son was his failure. He felt like, it wasn't just the pshat that I'm mourning for my son. If this happened, this is a reflection of me. It must mean that I have no good, that I'm not good, that I'm not worthy, that I don't measure up. He felt worthless himself. He felt worthless as a father. He felt worthless as an av, as a patriarch. When you feel worthless about yourself, you know what you do? You close the shades, you push everyone away, and you simply die a slow and painful death. That's what happened to Yaakov Avinu. So when Sarah Pas Osher, when they're trying to revive Yaakov Avinu's spirit, there's no question that the minagein, the music, absolutely according to Medrash, was a part in it. So look what he says. Machmas shenoflim bedaitum. People begin to think so little of themselves. Machmas sheroem ba'atzmam godel kilkulam shekilkulu ma'aseyem kol echad mipi mashe yodea ba'atzmo es nige levavov ve'amachovav. And I'll say sometimes, again, you know, it's interesting. There are some people that ignore their shortcomings, right? And just don't pay any attention to their shortcomings. And there are some people that just obsess on their shortcomings. So neither one of those are good, right? To ignore my shortcomings, of course, is detrimental. And to go ahead and obsess over it, what happens? It creates depression. At the end of the day, we all have shortcomings. And the truth is, some of us have pretty significant shortcomings. But if that's all I dwell on, to the exclusion of anything good, by definition, I lose myself. People, it's depression. The Rebbe is describing here depression. Look what he writes. Veruban miyashin atzmon legamre. And most of these people who only dwell on their negativities, the truth is, they just give up on themselves. We're both like, you know, generally, when you see people that are so far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not talking about a person who never knew anything. I'm talking about people who knew things. Again, you could try this exercise. Think about that we all know a number of people who, for whatever reason, have left Yiddishkeit. But say, you know why that happens? I mean, I don't know. I haven't conducted a study. This is just a theory. I think more often than not, what's happened to many people is they've been made to feel like failures in their Yiddishkeit, either because in yeshiva they couldn't sit, and so they were considered to be bad kids, or something else, where they always felt that God is ready to patch them if they don't measure up. Nobody wants to live life feeling like a failure. So if at the end of the day I'm a failure in my Yiddishkeit, the truth is, there are one of two possibilities. Either A, I leave it, because who wants that? I want to be a happy person. I don't want to feel like a failure. Or I stay with my Judaism, but I'm just a chronically depressed person because I just feel like I never measure up. Va'al yidei zeh, look what he writes, Einon mispalalim bekavana klal. But remember again, we saw this in last week's shir, that Rebbe says, if you're depressed about yourself and unhappy with yourself, the one thing you can't do is what? You can't daven. You can't daven. Now why is davening, remember again, the way the Rebbe explained that is because, remember, in the world of song, in the world of nigun, there's a progression. You begin with the nigun, and then after the nigun, you go to tefillah. So if I can't sing, if all I'm doing is sighing, and there's no singing, then by definition, there's no tefillah. But there's another piece as well. People say, what does tefillah require? What does tefillah require more than anything? What?
Kavana.
Leif, kavana, right? Heart, kavana, what else? Something so much more fundamental.
Hakaras
HaTov. Hakaras HaTov, good. What else?
Okay. Relationship.
Relationship, good. Focus, all correct. Confidence. Tefillah requires confidence. Why? Because if I feel that, I'll tell you just by the way, just the way you know this, Rav Soloveitchik has an incredible piece on this. The Rav writes, you know, the Gemara Maseches Brachos says that Ma'ariv is a Rishus. Don't get excited, right? So Ma'ariv is an optional tefillah. So what does it mean Ma'ariv is an optional tefillah? So the Gemara says that if there's a mitzvah veres, if I have a choice between davening Ma'ariv and performing a mitzvah, if I don't perform the mitzvah now, I'm not going to be able to perform it. So I go with Ma'ariv, I go with the mitzvah, and I lose out on Ma'ariv. So again, so what's the pshat? So why is Ma'ariv a rishus? Why is it optional? Shacharis is not, mincha is not. So remember again, pashup pshat in the Gemara is because the tefillos correspond to karbanos. So shacharis, there was the tamid shel shachar. Mincha, there was the tamid shel bein arbaim. What about Ma'ariv? So there's no karbanos at night. Instead, what did they have? They had the hakdaras evarim upadaram. They burnt all the leftovers, fats, and limbs. So the simple pshat is that because Ma'ariv doesn't correspond to a real karbon, therefore by definition it's optional. So the Rav says something different. The Rav says, Soloveitchik says, that tefillah requires confidence, which is logical. I have to come before the Melech Malchei Hamlochim, and I have to say, Ribono Shel Olam, here's what I need, and I need you to give it to me. To make requests, and sometimes even demands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, requires confidence. So the Rav says, interestingly enough, that at night, a person doesn't have confidence. This is what's the pshat. And remember, the Rav gives a mashal. We can't relate to this because we live in an age of artificial light. But the truth is, you can relate to this. You know, sometimes if you're walking on the street, and you're walking at night, and you hear like a rustling behind you. So what happens? So at nighttime, it's very startling. Especially in Baltimore. Right? So at nighttime, it's very startling. Right? And you turn around, and you look around. That same noise, by the way, by day, sometimes wouldn't even register. Like, you wouldn't even hear, you wouldn't even pay attention. But at night, where there's so much uncertainty because I'm not in control of my surroundings, so even the smallest noise startled me. So the Rav says, so therefore, there's no such thing as obligatory prayer at night because tefillah prayer requires confidence. And by definition, man doesn't have the same level of confidence at night. So The Rabbi Nachman is taking this a little bit differently. And Rabbi Nachman is saying the same basic yisod, which is that there's no tefillah without confidence. So forget about Ma'ariv. There's no tefillah in general without confidence. And if I don't believe in myself, I can't come before God. Because think about this. If I don't believe that I'm worthy, or I don't believe that I'm good, so when I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for refuah, or I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for parnasa, or I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Mashiach, I ask him for geula, whatever I'm asking him for, if I don't believe that I am worth anything, then on what basis am I asking? And what basis, ultimately, again, should that be given to me? So Rabbi Nachman says, if I feel terrible about myself, then by definition, I could daven, but there won't be any kavana b'tfilah. Therefore, says Zeb, a person has to be very wise when it comes to this matter. Because Because we'll say sometimes we get down on ourselves, meaning I feel bad about myself because of bad things that I've done. And I've really done those bad things. That's true. Alkol zeh hanafilo shebedaito va'atzvos va'amara shechorish nofalav alayidei zeh. But nevertheless, again, the sadness, the depression as a result of my negative actions. Hakol hurak ma'aseh bal dover. We'll say, you want to say something amazing? You see, sometimes we think that after I do something bad, and I feel really upset and depressed about it. So we say to ourselves, oh, you know, that's called tshuva. It's called tshuva. I'm so depressed, so broken. Rabbi Nachman says, that's not called tshuva. That's called the satan. Isn't that amazing? Right? Because think about it for just a second. You know, I do something bad, okay. And then what happens? What's my job after I do something bad? My avoda is pick myself up. That's my avoda. All right, I made a mistake. So I will say you could do one of two options. Wallow in it, and just lose yourself in the pity and the pain. Or say, you know what? I messed up big time. Pick myself up, dust myself off, figure out how to go forward. So what does the Yetzirah say? The Yetzirah tries to get me to focus on, oh, I can't believe you did that. So terrible. And the idea also is the Yetzirah teaches me, or gets me to think, that part of being pious is wallowing in the sadness and the pity of a result of what I've sinned. And it says to Rabbi Nachman, just understand, that's the Yetzirah talking. That is the Yetzirah. Meaning at the end of the day, of Osai, are we supposed to feel bad when we sin? Of course we're supposed to feel bad. Should it be an opportunity for cheshbon nefesh to turn my life around? Of course. But to wallow in it, to lose myself in it, that's the Yetzirah. That's mamish the Yetzirah. But so you should know, by the way, this is not just klape atzmo. This is also between people. You know, sometimes this happens, like al shalom bayis, sometimes this happens. Where let's say again, a couple has a dispute, and you know what happens sometimes is that, I'm not gonna say who it is, whether it's the husband or the wife, but you can infer. Right? Sometimes one of the parties will say, well, you remember 5 years ago you did that. 5 years ago. I apologize for that already. Right? I said I was sorry. I mean, you understand, like it goes, it's not, and that is the most unhealthy dynamic in a marriage, which is all relationships, but Sicilian marriage, meaning when people can't let go of things that occurred and they're constantly wallowing in it. So that's what Rabbi Nachman said, that's the Yetzirah. That's the Yetzirah. So it's not just with myself, it's in all of my relationships. Mistakes happen, big mistakes happen, but what the avoda after a mistake is to pick myself up, dust myself off, and figure out how to move on and not to wallow in it. He goes on, he says, Shemach l'shdaito, k'dei lahapilo l'gamri chasashom. Arkein, tzrichin l'shazek mod. Therefore, says the Rebbe, we have to strengthen ourselves a lot. Leilechim ha-Torah hazos, to go with this approach. Again, the approach of Azamra l'elokai ba'odi, the approach, as we saw from the Pasuk of Tehillim, od ma'at ve'in Russia, we have to go with this idea. L'chapeis u'levakish ba'atzmo b'chopam, eza ma'at tov. But it's like to find in ourselves a little bit of good. Every single day it's an avodah. It's like a personal therapy session that we have to do with ourselves. I need to start the day, or at some point in the day, what is good about me? What is good about me? And I will say, you know, a person has to be careful because hopefully a person could answer that question. You know, if I can't answer that question, or if, you know, the best I can get out of that is you know, I'm a good dresser, or, you know, I have a nice car, like, that's nice, but hopefully I can answer it. And the Rebbe says, everybody can answer it. Everybody can answer it, because the truth is, all of us have not just one good thing, so many good things. But part of our avoda is to focus on that, to remind ourselves, what's the good? He says, l'chapeis u'levakish ba'atzal b'chopam, eizem ha'atov, to look for ourselves some little bit of good, unekudos tovos, al yedei zeh, yichya, v'yismach es atzmo. The Rebbe says, you know what I'm saying? Everyone's looking for the secret to happiness. Mamish, you know, you could go into any bookstore and there are shelves and shelves and shelves about, you know, happiness guides, the secret to happiness. Everybody's looking for happiness. So the Rebbe says, you want to know ultimately, again, how to become happy? You want to know how to become happy? The Rebbe says, well, it's a very simple yisod. if you're happy with yourself, if you feel good about yourself, then you'll be a happy person. You'll be a happy person, not a perfect person. Not a person, remember, happiness doesn't mean I have no work to do. I have plenty of work to do. But where there's internal happiness about who I am and what I am, there's happiness. And Rabbi said, you know, this is an incredible yisod. You know how you see some people who, like, they're angry at the world. They're angry at the world, right? They're upset. They're upset at everyone, right? And they could tell you what's wrong with this one and what's wrong with that one. I'll say, when you see something like that, so you know, what is that a result of? What's that a result of?
Insecurity.
Right? Person's not happy with themselves. It's a very simple yisod. You know, some... You can't even get angry at a person like that. You have to feel sad for a person like that. I will say it's a very important thing because it's an important self-check also. You know, the moment that I start seeing the deficiencies in every single person and the moment I start seeing, you know, this is no good and this is no good and that one's no good and nothing's good in the world. Everything is broken and in the state of disrepair except me, that means the irony of ironies is that it's really me that I'm most unhappy with. Because if a person is truly shalim imatzmo, a person is really complete with himself, but sees the good within himself, this is the Rebbe's Torah. If a person is able to see the good within himself, he's able to see the good within the world around him as well. If I can't see the good in me, then you better believe I can't see the good in any other person, and I can't see the good in life. He goes on, you hear like how yisodistic this is? The Rebbe is saying, don't you want to be happy? We all want to be happy. So these are pashat zachen, meaning there's no great chiddush in this, but sometimes we know that the greatest things in life are the simplest ones. We just overlook them. Person finds happiness with themselves by finding the good. The od ma'at ve'in rasha. The azamra lelokai ba'odi. A person finds the little bit of od, the little bit of good that's there. I find happiness in me. I find happiness in life. And Abbas said, the moment that a person begins to see the good in themselves, then what? Then suddenly I choose song over sigh. Then suddenly again I begin to formulate my niggun. And then after my niggun, what's the step after niggun? Then tefillah. And not only tefillah, but tefillah with kavana. Bebechinas azamra lelokai ba'odi, al yideze yiske lashuv be'emes al Hashem. And I will say something amazing happens. That the moment that I begin to find happiness within myself because I recognize the good that I possess and the good person that I really am deep down, that's the moment that I find my way back to the Ribono Shel Olam Hazeh. So let's just do a few more lines. Vida, shemi sheyachol la'asos elu. So listen to this and know that those who are able to go ahead and create these nigunim, right? Those who are able to have the courage to sing instead of to sigh, dahainu lelaket hanekudos tovos shenimtza b'chol echad miYisrael afilu ba'poshe Yisrael kiniska le'el. Get ready for this. Hu yachol lehispalel lifnei ha'omud. Right, I suppose if there are any shluchit zibor here, right? I'm sorry. So you have to understand something. You know what the Rebbe says? If you want to be a Shliach Tzibor, you cannot be a Shliach Tzibor unless you live this principle. Why? Because how can you represent the Tzibor if you don't see the good within them? But I will say, you should just know, this is actually a din in Shulchan Aruch. Forget about Rabbi Nachman for just a moment. You know, the Shulchan Aruch says that if somebody is not liked by the Tzibor, or somebody doesn't like the tzibur, right? You could have a situation like that. I don't know. It pays well, you know. I hate the people, but the money's great, right? So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, you can't down for the omer like that. You can't. Now, again, so we often understand that on a technical term, on a technical level, because again, he's supposed to be the shaliach of the tzibur. If he doesn't like the tzibur, he can't be the shaliach. The Rebbe is saying something much deeper. The Rebbe is saying, "The Hainu Lelaki Tanakudos Tovos Shnimsa B'Chalachem LeYisrael." But so here's the amazing part, and this becomes like an incredible, incredible avoda that a person could take. A person goes in and looks at others, and a person is able to see the good in all people around them. They're able to take those little sparks of good, and each spark represents another note in the niggun, in the beautiful song of Klal Yisrael. Even in Poshe Yisrael, you're able to see the little sparks of good. Because he who davens, the Shliach Tzibor, who nikra Shliach Tzibor, he is called the agent of the Tzibor. V'tzorich sheyihye nishlach mikol atzibur. He has to be someone literally who represents, who is sent from the tzibur. Dahainu shetzorich sheyekabetz kol nekuda tova shenimtza bechol echad mi'hamispalalim. Watch this. Bechol hanekudos tovos. Turn the page. Yenich lalim bo. Vehu ya'amod v'yispalal im kol atov hazeh. Zeu shliach tzibur. Do you hear what the Rebbe is saying over here? How amazing this is? So shliach tzibur. Where does the nigun of the shliach tzibur come from? Right? Where do the nigunim of the shliach tzibur come from? And what's the answer? Well, where does the nigun in life come from? The nigun in life comes from, instead of sighing about my deficiencies, I choose to sing about my accomplishments. So where does the nigun of the shliach tzibur come from? Only if he sees the good in all of those people who he's representing, those little sparks of good that he sees within each individual, each of them represent a note, a musical note. And it's all of those little sparks of good that combine together to form the nigun. And that's where the shliach tzibur gets his tunes from. And that's where he gets his song from. And that's where ultimately he gets his tefillah from. V'tzarech sheyihye bo b'chinas gavoa kizu, sha'al yidei zeh, yihyu kol hanekudos te'avim elav, v'yihyu nichlolim bo. Umisheyuchal la'asos nigunim, haniskar le'al dahanu sheyochol lodun es ka'odam l'kaf sechus, afilu es hakalim v'arishoyim, ki mishtadol l'chapeis u'levakish l'mzor b'chulam nekudos tovos, sha'al yidei zeh na'asim nigunim. Zehu ha'tzadik, sha'ocheiz b'madrega zos, v'hu sheyu yochol lios chazin u'shliach tzibur, dahanu lehispala lefnei ha'omud, ki yesh bo b'chinas zu atzricha l'shatz ha'hogun be'emes. Shetzar Shiyeh, but I'm just going to be to the end of the paragraph. Bechina Shiyu kol nekudos tovos te'ivim elav, v'yum nichlol lebo k'niska le'el, ki yocha lekabiz kol nekudos tovos sh'nimtza b'chol echa me'yisrael, afilo po she'esos. We'll say incredible, incredible yisod. So what happens? The Shliach Tzibur wants to be the Shliach Tzibur? No problem. You know what? You think your tunes come from you? Your tunes don't come from you. Your nigunim come from the Tzibur. But say, that's why, by the way, you find that sometimes you could have a shliach tzibur with the most wonderful voice, and yet the davening does absolutely nothing for you. But yet you have someone who doesn't have to have the best voice in the world, but the nigunim could be so heartsick. Why are the nigunim so heartsick? Because there are some people that are able to tap in to the nigunim of the kehila. They're not just choosing their own songs, they're taking the songs of the kehila. How do they take the songs of the kehila? Because if they love the people in the kehila, they love Klal Yisrael, they're able to see the good in every other individual. They're able to say the Od Ma'at Ve'in Rasha. They're able to see the Azar Malei Lokai Ba'odi. They're able to see, yes, the deficiencies, but more than the deficiencies, they see all of the good. They see all of the good in others. They see those sparks of Kedusha. Those sparks represent those musical notes. Those musical notes form together to form the nigun, and it's the nigun that ultimately inspires the tefillah. That's the avod of a shliach tzibur. But I will say, the truth is, it's not just a shliach tzibur. Right? It's the job of all of us. That at the end of the day, what the Rebbe is really teaching us is, if you want to be happy in life, if you really want to be happy, so happiness begins by seeing the good in myself. Not ignoring my deficiencies, dealing with my deficiencies, but seeing the good in myself. And once I see the good in myself, I'm able to see the good in others. Once I'm able to see the good in others, I'm able to see the good in the world. And when you begin to see the good in everyone else, you're able to draw chiyus, you're able to draw strength, not only from your own good, not only from your own sparks, but you're able to draw chiyus, you're able to draw strength from the sparks and the goodness of others. And slowly but surely, when I begin to focus on my own good, when I begin to focus on the good of others, when I begin to see the good of others, that's when I get my song back. That's when I stop sighing and start singing. That's when I begin to piece together the notes of my personal nigun, and that's when I'm truly able to become a Baal Tefillah. All right, we'll stop over here for tonight. We'll spend one more week on Resh Pei Beis, because again, there's one more little piece that the we'll finish up next week. But again, this is probably one of the most, they're all important, one of the most yisodistic ideas. Save it for next week, absolutely. Shkoyach. And of course, Shkoyach to Yona and Shushi for hosting every week. Beautiful. Sorry. And it comes with rest.